Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how to be strong in the Lord. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify you, God. You're glorious and wonderful to be praised, God. Father, I thank you for all that you've done for all of us. I thank you for every ounce of peace that we have. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for us to be made spiritually whole and physically whole. Father, I thank you for you sending us into the world so that we can win those souls that have been lost and separated from you back to you so that they can dwell with you as you have always planned for them to dwell with you. Father, I thank you for you having sent your son and called him back to prepare a place for us to be with you in eternity, God. Father, I thank you, and I magnify you, God. I love you for all that you do and all that you have done and all that you're preparing to do for us. God, I thank you for you just strengthening someone tonight, God. Father, give them peace, give them encouragement, give them strength when they feel weakness. Father, allow them to have hope when they feel hopelessness. God, allow them to be restored when the circumstances say that it's all over, God. Father, I thank you for you being the one who has all power and all knowledge and is always present with us wherever we are. Father, I thank you for us standing on that truth. I thank you for us standing on your word that you magnified above your name, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to commune with you and fellowship with you on a regular basis. Father, give us a desire to speak with you in our heavenly prayer language more often. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to study your word more often. Father, thank you for you giving us a desire to pray secretly and corporately more often, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to fellowship with one another in a way where we get to see each other grow up close. I thank you for those that you've assigned us to and those whom we've been assigned to being blessed by seeing your hand in the lives of others and in our own life. Father, I thank you for the wonderful testimony that each and every one of us has of how you have delivered us and how you continue to deliver us and how you have strengthened us and how you continue to strengthen us and how you have perfected us and how you're continuing to perfect us, God. Father, I thank you for your complete and perfect work, getting incredible glory and yielding the result that you see fit. Father, I thank you for you continuing to develop us, continuing to lead us. I thank you for you continuing to restore us and strengthen us, God. Father, I thank you for our ability to simply dwell in your presence, to be in your presence, just to increase so that we can be at peace and understand that is the thing that is truly of value. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
One more time.
Your worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how to be strong in the Lord. And one of the best examples that we have of being strong in the Lord is the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And it's interesting because the Apostle Paul is such a great example. He accepted his call after not only being an enemy of God, as we refer to ourselves as being enemies of God before we were saved, but he was actually an enemy of every Christian. He was one who would imprison Christians. He was one who would have Christians executed. And Jesus Christ appeared to him personally and called him to be an apostle of the highest rank. And it was interesting because during the course of the Apostle Paul's ministry, you see where he was educated by the other Christians at the time, and they didn't really, the other apostles didn't necessarily trust what he was doing at the beginning because he was formerly a serious enemy of the Christian church. And what we see is how Paul was not only made one of the brethren of the Christian church, but he was made a foremost apostle among the brethren in the Christian church. And that is fascinating. That is the kind of thing that should inspire and remind each and every one of us that we're not beyond God calling us. We're not beyond God using us. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we think, if God has a plan to use you in order to minister to his people and strengthen his people and prepare his people, that plan is going to get realized. God is going to use you mightily. And if he could use the Apostle Paul the way he did, he can use you. He can use me. And see, to me, what is interesting is that Paul was sold out when he was an enemy of Christ. His name was Saul before Jesus Christ changed it to Paul. He was committed to what he thought was right, even when he didn't know what was right. And so many of us, we find ourselves in our spiritual journey at some point in time, believing something that we learned at church that wasn't quite right. And we would kill people behind that belief. We would have shunned people and excommunicated people and did all kinds of things because of something that we were taught in church, right? But that's what the Apostle Paul did when his name was Saul before Jesus Christ met him and blinded him and then sent Peter to minister to him and to lead him into salvation and restore his sight. And what you see is how Paul, he was humbled because of his experience. He was humbled because of the mercy that he had received. You have to realize that if anyone was guilty of punishment by the Lord, it was Paul. Paul had done serious damage to the church. And he ordered the killing of Stephen, the deacon. Stephen, incredible man of God. You can read about him in the book of Acts. And what you see is how God can use anybody. So what you have to begin to do is understand how powerful the blood of Christ is. The blood of Christ is powerful enough to wipe out all of your sin, past, present, and future. And what God asks in exchange for that is that you embrace the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit and you forgive others the way God forgave you. Absolutely. See, God definitely is on a two-way street. He says, look, I love you first, and I gave you my only begotten son first, who shed his perfect blood for you first and carried all of your sins to the cross first so that you could then love me first and then obey me and love yourself by forgiving others, forgiving everyone. And people say to themselves, I'm not that strong. Well, you know what? You're not. But the Holy Spirit that God placed within you is that strong and causes you to increase in strength so that you can do all that God has asked you to do. And God asking us to forgive everyone, even our enemies, is a small price to pay for having all of your sin wiped out, all of your sin paid for. See, the reason Jesus Christ had to become sin for us was so that we could become the righteousness of God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. See, that's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. And you need to understand how powerful that blood is so that you understand how powerful you are. See, it's the power of the Holy Spirit within you that gives you the ability to forgive anybody, gives you the ability to stand in that place of favor before the throne of God without doubt, worry, fear, or hesitation. You know that when you pray, God hears you. And not only does he hear you, but you hear him. You are ready to do what God is asking you to do, and you're embracing the fullness of the power that he's placed within you without making excuses for why you can't do something. See, it was, we've heard enough excuses, and God is not receiving excuses, because each and every day he gives us new grace and new mercy to get the job done for him, of reconciling the world back to him, of getting the lost back to him, of sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ with others, so that they can be restored just like you, so that they can be strengthened just like you, so that they can be encouraged just like you. And God used the Apostle Paul in such an incredible way. I think of some of the things that the Apostle Paul gives us examples of. One of them is his personal prayer life, where he said he spoke in tongues in his heavenly prayer language more than any of his contemporaries. And that's believable, because when you look at the number of souls that the Apostle Paul won, when you look at the number of tribulations and trials he physically endured for the Lord's sake, it is amazing. But we see that the power that comes from him building himself on up in his most holy faith by praying in his heavenly prayer language was effective. It made a difference. It made him able to bear the burden that he was being asked to carry. And his reward is going to be great. His reward is great. And we should desire our reward to be as great. We should desire to partake in the work of reconciling the world back to God, the way that the Apostle Paul took on the work of reconciling the world back to God. He was committed, absolutely committed to getting that job done. Let's read a little bit about what the Word of God has to say, because, and before we get too much further into this, I want you to understand that our strength is in the Lord. It is not our own strength that we're leaning on. It is the strength that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, that allows us to do supernatural works, signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth, and ensures that we'll see success in what we do for God, because, see, our desires to serve God come from God, and that means that what he gives us to do will get done. Our words will not fall to the ground. We will be effective and effectual in what we do for God, because God is the one who gave us the desire to do it in the first place by reading about the mystery revealed. And Paul is sharing this. Look at what it says. It says, for this reason, and this is Ephesians chapter 3, it says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. See, it's the effective working of God's power that allows us to be ministers, and the grace of God that gives us the ability, that empowerment to be effective as ministers of reconciliation. We are in this place of favor, and to understand that the Jews and Gentiles have been made one body in Christ. We are one body in Christ. And we are partakers of the promise through the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is so important for us to understand and to know that this word that has been brought forth by the Apostle Paul is being brought forth by someone who was as wretched as you and I, and yet called and then sent. And see, when we're called and we're sent and we go and we do, God is blessed by that. God needs us to be confident in what we do for him. He needs us to be deliberate in what we do for him. And it says, if you have indeed heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I briefly already written, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, the mystery has to do with the Jews and the Gentiles being one body of Christ. It's the Jews and the Gentiles, and this dispensation of the grace of God is the pouring out of the grace of God, which was made available as a result of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary for us, right? See, that was powerful work. That was incredible work. That was supernatural work, which was done on our behalf so that this dispensation, this pouring out of the grace of God is available to us. And see, God's grace consists of all the great things that we receive from God that we don't deserve. It also consists of his enabling power. So God needs us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might so that we can use that enabling power that we get through the grace of God in this dispensation of grace that we live in right now. See, that word dispensation, it sounds like dispense. When you're pouring something out, right, the liquid at the top is coming out first and the liquid at the bottom of the bottle is coming out later. As you tip the bottle and you pour it out, all the liquid can't come out at once, right? And so that dispensation is just something being dispensed, being poured out. And this is that dispensation, that latter dispensation of the age of grace. And that is, this is a powerful time. It was preceded by that dispensation of the Christ administration, when, or the dispensation of Christ, when Jesus Christ was literally here on earth himself. But as a result of his death, burial, and resurrection, it was made possible for each and every one of us to have the Holy Spirit within us when we make Jesus Christ our Lord and our Master. So when we look at this, look at the purpose of the mystery. We're going to read from verses 8 to 13. Look at what it says. And this is Apostle Paul speaking still. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to the extent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. See, the Apostle Paul was an example of strength. He was an example of patiently enduring hardship as a good soldier. And I believe what made him able to patiently endure and to handle his tribulations was he remembered the harm that he had done to the church. And he understood all that he was forgiven for. And unfortunately, so many of us, we fail to realize all that God has forgiven us of and for. And we, because we forget, we are hesitant to forgive others the way that God is asking us to forgive others. See, God is serious about us acknowledging the magnitude of the price that he paid for us to be free, for us to be worthy, for us to be empowered, for us to be blessed, for us to be a blessing. The purpose of the ministry was, and you also see the Apostle Paul's humility here. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, right? So he's saying, look, if someone who was as big of an enemy of the church of Christ as I was can be given this grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, the fellowship of the mystery is the Jews and Gentiles being made one. But then the one body of Christ, it says, this was hid from the beginning of ages and has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. And so you have to understand that in the Old Testament, everybody knew that the children of Israel were God's chosen people. People knew about the covenant Abraham and God. People understood who Jacob was. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were no secret. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was no secret. They were notorious. And yet, we see glimpses in the Old Testament of God preparing and intending for his people to draw the other nations to their God, the living God, the Almighty God. And yet, when God's people were in disobedience, when God's people in the Old Testament were tripping, they were literally holding back blessings that God intended to distribute to all the nations through them. And it's that way with us today. God is trying to create a heavenly kingdom of many nations right now today. Out of all the nations on earth, there are only 26 listening to this program tonight. And we need to get all of the nations of the world listening to the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that they can be blessed. See, God intends to get his blessings that are heavenly blessings to the world through us. So many people have this so backward in that they believe that God is trying to get us into heaven when God is literally trying to get heaven out of us. That was the mystery. And look, it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God accomplished his eternal purpose through Christ Jesus our Lord, and he made known the manifold wisdom of God. God made known his manifold wisdom by the church, by the Jews and Gentiles being made one to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. See, we believe, not we, people who are not Christians that don't know the Bible, believe that the devil is in hell reigning over the fallen angels, and we know that's not true. We know that the devil is in heaven before the throne of God, accusing the brethren daily. And so we have to understand that now the church is making known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. We are making known the manifold wisdom of God, the powerful manifold wisdom of God that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, when God raised his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, after he was in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights dead, and God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I, the Holy Spirit was now available to us after not being available to mankind for 4,000 years after Adam's sin. See, Adam allowed himself to be used by the devil to separate God from man. And that was an extremely dark time. And yet now, through God's manifold wisdom, we have the ability to have the power of the Holy Spirit within us and to have been grafted into that same covenant, that same olive tree as Abraham. And because of our faith, we have been made a part of this covenant. And see, because of what Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him, through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that we are in a place of favor. We are in a place of power. We are in a place of purpose. We are in a place of praise. We are not victims. We are here to get the job done. So now, in order to fully appreciate this mystery, look at what it says here in verses 14 to 20. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, in your inner man, strengthened with might through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." See, we have to understand that it is a tremendous privilege. It is an incredible blessing to know that we're a part of the whole family in heaven and earth that is named by our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is the name that we carry. And he grants us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. See, it is the Spirit of God within us that strengthens us. And we're to be praying in the Spirit and building up our inner man on our most holy faith continually, just as the Apostle Paul did. We're to be speaking in tongues in our heavenly prayer language regularly. We're to be believing to speak in tongues and believing to prophesy. And see, remember when God said in the Old Testament, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy." See, we have a tendency to dumb down the Holy Spirit, and God is calling us to task and saying it is time. It is time to be strengthened in the inner man through the Holy Spirit that is within you. You've been strengthened with might, so let the weak say I'm strong. You've been strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. But if you're not praying, if you're not speaking in tongues, if you're not prophesying, if you're not fellowshipping with like-minded believers, if you're not studying God's word, then you are probably in doubt, worry, and fear, and don't believe that any of this is available for you. But I'm telling you today, if it was available to Saul, who was a Christian killer, who became the Apostle Paul, then it's available to you. And he believed to receive. So all you need to do is believe to receive. And stop talking yourself out of all of God's goodness. And understand that God is ready to bless you. God is waiting to bless you. God did all of this so that he could strengthen you, so that he could empower you, so that he could make you all that he has called you to be. So that now you can know that Christ dwells in your hearts through faith. So that you can be rooted and grounded in love. See, it's the love of God that has been shed abroad in our heart by his Spirit that allows us to be rooted and grounded in love so that we can comprehend with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, in this passage here, it reminds me of something. In my profession as an architect, I'm always intrigued by the three dimensions of width and length and depth and height, right? But I'm actually looking at this and it's four dimensions. It's width and length and height, but it's also depth. It's that which goes down into the unseen realm and roots and grounds us in love. It attaches us to what is permanent, to what is not changing. And we know that God's word is not changing. God's word is eternal. God's word is going to last. God's word is going to come to pass. And it says that we may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. See, Word of God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? But this says that we may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So if we want to have knowledge passed to us, we have to know the love of Christ. And then in order to know the love of Christ, we have to allow ourselves to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in our inner man. We have to build ourselves up on our most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and building up our inner man on our most holy faith, as it says in Jude. And when we get to this point, it's Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith that allows us to be rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded. See, it says in Psalm that we're to be like a tree planted by the river. And that means we're continually nourished with an unlimited supply of water, and our roots go deep because they are continually being fed an unlimited quantity of water. And it says, we shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. We will be rooted and grounded in love. And see, the thing I love about that is, and what's strong about that is love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never fails, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. And we have to be in that place where we are rooted and grounded in love so that we can comprehend with all the rest of the saints what is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And see, it's not just knowing it intellectually. It's knowing it experientially. It's knowing the love of Christ that passes knowledge, because we are doing what God has given us to do. We're forgiving. We're loving our enemies. We're blessing those who curse us. We're doing good to those who spitefully use us. We're praying for those who persecute us. We are doing the things that God is asking us to do. And, you know, God tells us, he says, those who are merciful will receive mercy themselves. See? God is letting you know he is waiting to bless you. But God's blessings require your participation. God's blessings require your obedience. You have to please God. You have to serve God. You have to trust God. You have to obey God. And see, when you are in that place where you're doing that, you have boldness. You have access. You have confidence through faith in Jesus Christ. And we should not lose heart at tribulation and tests that come in our life, because tribulations and tests, as it says in Romans chapter 5, they come in order to develop in us and bring to us more patience, more experience, and more hope. And it says that maketh not ashamed. It makes us not disappointed in our expectation, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And see, this always keeps coming back to the love of God. The love of God strengthens us. The love of God perfects us. The love of God prepares us. The love of Christ passes knowledge to us that allows us to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's so incredible. And then at the end, we have to remember, it says, he who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. See, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's why you don't want to limit your prayers to praying with your understanding, because your understanding is already limited. But when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying perfectly. And when you are asking in your heavenly prayer language, and you don't even know what to ask for, that's why God wants you to speak in tongues in your heavenly prayer language. You don't even know what to ask for. But when you're praying in your heavenly prayer language, you don't know what you're saying. You're saying it. You know what's getting to heaven, because it's coming from God and going to him. And it says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So there's nothing you're going to ask God for that he's not able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you're going to ask him for. And so when we are praying in our heavenly prayer language, we're asking God for what he wants us to have, because we don't even know what we need. We're acknowledging what we don't know by trusting God and saying, look, what you have for me is what I want, because I don't even know what's available. But I am asking you to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever I could ask in my own language. So I'm going to ask you in my heavenly prayer language for whatever you want me to have that I don't even know exists, so that I can be that kind of blessing to others, so that I can win souls beyond measure for the kingdom, so that I can draw many souls to the kingdom and introduce many to your son, Jesus Christ, so that they can come in relationship with you, God. See, and we want to be filled with all the fullness of God like that. And that's what allows us to comprehend the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge in our life, in our heart, so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. See, when God fills you, you are in a place beyond all dimensions, because God is above all and through all and in you all. And who receives him by making his son Jesus Christ your master, see? And when you do that, and for those of you who have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master and receive the pardon of your sin through the blood of his son Jesus Christ, all you got to do is repent, turn away from serving sin. All you got to do is be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All you got to do is believe to speak in tongues, believe to prophesy. All you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, your master. And all you got to do is believe in your heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead and call on the name of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be saved. And see, take some time and read what God says in Acts 2:38 and 39. Read what God says in Acts 19 verses 1 through 7. Read what God says in Romans chapter 10 verses 8 to 13. And then just do what it says. Just do what it says. If you need to write those verses down again, write them down. Acts 2:38 and 39. Acts 19, 1 through 7. In Romans 10, verses 8 to 13. And you do what it says there, and you will be saved. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to seek God's purpose in your life. Seek God's hand in your life. Desire to manifest the strength of God in your life and understand how God has called you to a place of favor beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. And that's why you want to stop limiting what you ask God for what you think you need, because you have no idea what you need. You have no idea what is even available. And so when we pray in our heavenly prayer language, when we build ourselves up on our most holy faith by speaking in tongues, we build up our inner man. God is preparing to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask or even think of, because we don't know what's available. And if you don't know what's available, you can't even ask for it. That's why God says, look, trust me. Do what I tell you to do. Desire what I want for you, because I know not only what's best, I know what's available. There are places you don't even know exist that God might be sending you to get something you don't even know exists that is for you. All you have to do is be prepared to say yes to God and go and do whatever God gives you to do and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, don't question God. Don't second guess God. Don't try to figure it out. Just trust God. God gets incredible glory when you trust him, when you obey him, when you believe him, and when you receive his promises for your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone and strengthening them in a way that only you can. I thank you for you touching someone who does not yet know you as their Heavenly Father in a way that causes them to make your son Jesus Christ their master and Lord, and causes them to read Acts 2:38 and 39, to read Acts 19 verses 1 through 7, and to read Romans chapter 10 verses 8 to 13, and to then do what they read. I thank you for this. In the name of your son Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Live Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Buster Carver, be ye transformed.
me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark night will fade away.
If you
speak to my heart now,
speak to my heart,
Holy Spirit,
message of
love, love to encourage me.
Your holy word. If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I know what.